Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 9th of June of 2020, and so far, it's been a very interesting 6 months.
6 months. It's been unbelievable 10 days.
Well, that too.
Unbelievable. Father's Day is right around the corner.
Yeah, it's always a dud.
And what do you mean? What is that? What do you mean it's a dud?
It's a dud.
What does it mean? What's supposed to happen?
Well, we do fundraising for the No Agenda Show against Father's Day.
You do a anti-Father's Day?
No. We do a pro-Father's Day thing to get, you know, people to contribute to the future of the show.
Uh-huh.
And on Father's Day, it's like that's when nobody shows up.
Oh, I got you. So, yeah.
They all hate their dads.
Oh. Well, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with my father and Jill's father because Jill's dad's like 91.
That's good.
And I don't know if we can get together with him. He's not supposed to be seeing people still, it seems. And my father and my mom are all nervous about everything. So, so I don't know.
Well, this is your excuse not to see anybody.
I guess so, I suppose. All right, let's talk about what's going on.
Do a Zoom chat.
We could do that, but I don't know. I don't find those to be very, they don't do it for me. You know what I mean? I mean, that whole Zoom cocktail party thing and that Zoom family dinner thing, it's like, oh, that doesn't work.
It works just fine.
Well, it's a substitute, but it's not the same as the only difference is when you push the end button, everything's over, everything's gone, nobody's clean, you know, nothing to clean up, no long goodbyes, it's all over, bye, done, shut down.
Yeah, you know? Push, boom.
Yep. So last week we talked about the kind of the casino action that was going on last week and the week before that and carried over into this week already. And investors got the hot hand. It seems that it's rigged in the favor of the players now, not the casino. Got some crazy, crazy returns happening. We'll talk about that. Markets are continuing their semi-V-shaped recovery. And we saw last Friday a massive economic surprise. But questioning, we got a question. The numbers. We'll get into that tonight. And also, FOMO is here. Retail investors are buying bigly. And there's a lot of evidence that we see that new people. As a matter of fact, there's hard evidence that a lot of new investors are getting into the market. But there's also peripheral evidence from a lot of people that I've been talking to that there's a whole host of people that all of a sudden are just like giddy about the markets. It's like, what happened? I had a friend I talked to today who is a former investment guy, and I said, yeah, there's a lot of retail. Look at these numbers. He goes, yeah, no kidding. My wife and my stepson want to open accounts. I'm like, have they invested before? No. I'm like, well, what do they want to do? I don't know. They just want to start putting money in the markets.
Oh, brother.
So it feels a little bit.
This isn't a good signal.
No. This whole retail thing is really out of hand. And let's
see how long it lasts. Let them all come in as usual. You've only seen this every, I don't know, a few years. You see it all before any major correction, a.k.a. a crash. So let them all come in and prop up the market as the smart money very slowly drains its accounts.
Yeah. And we have other people, too. You know, you have this guy Portnoy, which somebody just mentioned in the chat room. But he's
got a complaint about that guy.
To who?
That's just the name of a book. Never mind.
Oh. This is the guy from Barstool Sports and saying that it's just so easy to make money, making 100, 200, 300,000 a day, losing 500,000 another day. It's the easiest thing, though. It's just like everything just goes up and he's pushing all his money in. And, you know, he's better than Buffett. So he says to him, you know, to everybody on his channel, he's got a lot of followers and he's kind of instigating this whole idea of, well, we might as well do this since we can't bet on sports. Fantasy football, since you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, people like, instead of spending 50 or 100 bucks on a bet and maybe 200 bucks on tickets, well, you know what? I'll just simply put my money in the market and turn that 50 bucks into $75 and I'm doing good.
So, insane.
We saw lots of changes at hand in response to the protests and, of course, all these horrible situations going on. But the question is, will they stick? Companies are. Do you remember when companies after the when Trump was elected, there was a whole thing about the tax money that was coming in, right? The whole the tax reduction. All the companies were like, oh, we're giving every employee $1,000. Remember that whole thing?
Oh yeah.
And it was like every company, one after the next, decided, hey, you know what? We're gonna do it because they're doing it, and we're gonna look really good by doing it. Meanwhile, they save themselves, I don't know, $50 billion, and they pay out $100 million. And they're kings. Well, now a lot of companies are coming out with all sorts of, you know, we're really going to work on diversity, and we're going to set up a special program for, you know, making sure that people of color are properly represented on the boards or in the management and the C-suite. So there's a whole kind of, have you seen a lot of this stuff going on?
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
It's stupid. I mean it's all virtue signaling because of the moment we are in right now. We're in a moment where it sounds good. So they don't want their buildings firebombed. But what happens in 6 months?
Everybody forgets about it. Everybody forgets about it. Everybody forgets about it.
They either forget about it or they brought in a bunch of people or they will bring in some people who are the wrong people. That aren't well selected. I mean, it's great to have diversity, but you have to really put a lot of effort into it so you don't get, I don't want to say that you use the word slouches or social justice types. You really have to vet these people.
But what you're saying is, let's just be clear about this, because I know you're not saying that, you know, people of color are going to be slouches. That's not what you're saying. What you're saying is they're going to forcibly do like affirmative hiring to just bring people in.
Yeah, they're just going to bring, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it could be anybody.
Right.
They're just going to bring random people in that they're, oh, yeah, well, those are check. Well, there we have, now we have a Latino check. And then we have a gay male check. And then we have a black guy check. And we have a Puerto Rican check.
Yep. And we have a check.
And there's a check. Check.
Well, as far as the market update is going on, we have a massive move on these grand reopening hopes and a rotation that we saw this week that was out of control. I mean, the rotation from growth. So over the last, well, probably a couple of years, but especially this year, we saw that the growth plays, you know, the technology and healthcare were on fire. Yeah, they took that big dump, but they came back, they reached all-time highs, and they're still going. Well, last week and the start of this week on Monday, not today, but the start of the week, this massive like, oh, maybe we should look at the other side. Let's take a look at the banks. Let's take a look at the airlines. How about those cruise lines? Unbelievable. All at once, they just ramped. All at once. We saw 50, 60, 70.
Airlines ever going to have earnings in the next 2 years?
I mean, American Airlines is up like 50% one day and then like 25% the next day.
Wow.
Crazy stuff. Cruise lines.
That one.
Cruise lines up 40%. So financials were on fire. Just incredible moves on a lot of these stocks. All these laggards. Macy's up 40%. And we'll talk about some of the bankrupt companies. How about those? We got like Hertz that was up like, I think it was like 500%.
Oh, I missed that one.
And this is a bankrupt company.
Yeah.
Chesapeake. Energy up a few 100% until today. It was down 67%. Bankrupt company. Unbelievable. Today, I mean, we had stocks up 100%. Today, this company, MIMRN, got a contract with the government. 1,100% up today.
Wow.
That was pretty nice. That's a good one. But we'll see how it comes down a bit. So, I mean, we're seeing, then you have like car companies like this Nikola, which is a company that makes these kind of cool trucks. They're electric / hydrogen vehicles. And, you know, you have this company that is, well, maybe the next Tesla, and they're up, a ridiculous amount in 2 days.
Nobody's the next Tesla.
Right. Like 100-something%. As a matter of fact, if you go year to date, Tesla versus Nikola, Nikola's up 650% and Tesla's up like 125%.
So unbelievable.
They haven't sold the car. They don't have any. If you go to this site to see the car.
No, you know, the name's the reference to Tesla. That's what's so funny.
Yeah. Nikola Tesla, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So you got to just talk about dragons. So terrible. What we had this week, I think, could be best described as a swing and a miss. Because economists and analysts and pretty much everybody, including myself, including you, everybody thought, hey, you know what? We're going to have another 8 million job loss or something like that. Unemployment rate somewhere between, 17 to 20%? And
right.
As Gomer Pyle, what would Gomer Pyle say to this one?
Golly.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, surprise. So this report on Friday showed a surprise gain of 2.5 million jobs and an unemployment rate that actually went down to 13.3%. Those numbers?
A lot of this, of course, was the 5 to 9 million that were pulled from employment rolls.
Right. So what happened was if anybody filled out unemployment compensation forms and an application, you'll notice there was one of the questions was, are you able and actively looking for work? Are you able and, you know, and if you check, are you actively looking for work? And the answer is no. Why aren't you looking for work?
Because everything's closed. How am I supposed to be looking for work?
Right. Or you're furloughed until such time that they hire you back. And why would you be looking for work? Right. And there's a lot of different scenarios that meet that same criteria.
Yes. Scam.
So what they did was they said, well, those people are no longer in the workforce. And therefore, we take them out of the calculation, which...
Yeah, it's a scam. This has been going on for decades.
So that's not anything different. Nothing's changed. Some people are like, oh, my God, Trump did this. No, that's not what happened. This is just the calculation.
Definitely not Trump.
Yeah, this is just the calculation. However, it made things look a lot better than they are. Politicians...
Yeah, and Trump he spiked the ball over it.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's like, hey, look at this. Things are getting better. They're not getting better. It's just that they took these.
They are if
you
invested in Hertz.
Yeah, well, of course. I don't even understand that trade. So I brought up the shadow stats on the show notes for the show on DH Unplugged. You can go over to the show number 509, and you can see all these charts. And one of the charts we have is the shadow stats numbers for the employment or unemployment. So this is your favorite thing to look at. So take a look. Talk to us.
Yeah, it looks like it looks fake.
Looks like a sewing needle. What looks fake about it?
You have a chart going up and down. Now you're going smooth, and then all of a sudden it goes straight up like a rocket, and it's never happened before. It looks like you ran into the end of a piece of paper, and you're doing a lie detector test. Apparently, you're lying.
Well, I mean, these are the numbers, though, right? I mean, we do have a 15% at least, if not a 20% unemployment rate.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that the thing is jagging down now.
Yeah, just that little hook, that little sewing needle hook on the end there.
Up to 35% unemployment, which sounds about right to me.
I always thought that the unemployment rate from shadow stats was a little bit hot historically, but this looks right to me now. It looks like it caught up. So they're at 35%. The U6 number, the broadest measure, is about 21% now?
Yeah, something like that.
And there's also been a very significant differential in those, even in this recent report of who went back to work. And it seems that the unemployment for the black population is, I never know when to say African-American or black, do you?
Yeah, you should... You know, the current way, I follow a bunch of these guys, and the current thinking is these guys are getting a little irked, and they'll say the following: I've never even been to Africa. I was born here. Yeah. Wow. How am I suddenly an African American? So they prefer black, and they don't like that either. Most of them, the newest one, the ones that are moving over toward the Republican side of the ledger, they just want to be called Americans, but... So black American might work.
All right. Black Americans have about a 16.5% unemployment rate. So there was a disproportional amount of people in that category that are still unemployed somehow.
Yeah, they got screwed.
Yep, they got screwed. So, but I think that there is some hanky panky going on there. And one of the things that we're going to see is that if we don't have, when we do have people that go back to work and back on the payrolls, it's going to kind of skew the numbers the other way again. The way they should be.
Yeah, probably. Yes, it'll be a funny looking thing.
Yep. The World Bank says that economic activity amongst advanced economies is anticipated to drop 7% in 2020, as domestic demand and supply, trade, and finance have been severely disrupted. Emerging markets and developing economies, the EMDEs, are expected to shrink by 2.5% this year. And per capita incomes are expected to decline by 3.6%, which will move millions of people into the extreme poverty zone this year, which is really very sad.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So,
it's
again, this is disproportionately hurting a lot of places. For example, countries that are, let's say, the emerging markets, some emerging markets, X maybe China, but their governments aren't handing out checks like our government is or as Europe is. They don't have the same employment laws. So you're unemployed, you're pretty much screwed. And there's, no chance to really pick up if, they're the last ones that are going to pick up. If the U.S. slows down, they slow down by a measure and a magnitude more.
A lot more, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So really, really big problem there. But our market's close to an all-time high, and S&P ticked into the positive range.
Well, until it goes to 30,000 and ticks above it, I'm not buying any of this.
Yep. We have an update on the Main Street Lending Program came out yesterday. And I guess you have to put this into the one of the reasons why there's so much froth in the market. So the Fed, which has been working on this Main Street Lending Program, where they took some money from the CARES Act and did a multiplier about this. And they this is geared to the small and medium-sized businesses, and they said that this is going to be employing tens of millions of people, and because there's a lot of needs, the board has gone to get feedback in the original plan to have a minimum of a $500,000 loan for a company with a maximum, I think, of $32 million, has been reduced down to $250. So I saw this. I'm thinking, giving away cheap money, $250,000. I don't know what I could do with it, but I'm thinking, maybe, I don't know, like other businesses are as well. So they're increasing their maximum loan size. They're increasing the term of each loan option to 5 years from 4 years. They're extending the repayment period for all loans by delaying the principal payments for 2 years rather than one. So you don't have to pay anything back besides interest, and the interest only starts after the first year. And they're raising the Reserve Bank's participation to 95%. This is important. What that means is that banks will be able to provide these loans because you have to go through your bank. And you want to get this special loan, this Main Street Lending Program loan. It's 3 points over LIBOR. And you say, I want to get this loan. Okay, fine. The bank's only on the hook for any bad debt for 5%. The Fed is going to back 95% of the loan. So in other words, the banks get to get free money with really no risk, 5% risk. But if they're getting 3% over LIBOR the first year, if they at least paid that, they're pretty much even on the deal, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
So the banks, another, I need a no agenda bell. Another backdoor bank bailout.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Right? I mean, it's a bailout for other industries, too. Just doesn't end.
I don't know. I don't think this is sustainable.
It's a lot of money going out the door. I mean, you're talking about, we're not talking about, small amount. We're not talking about $1,200 checks here. We're not talking about $600 a week. We're talking about $250,000, $500,000, $4 million, $10 million, $20
million. So what does it take to qualify for the $250,000?
I think that you have to probably show proof that you have an ongoing business. There's a whole page on this, but your ongoing ongoing business. Now, of course, you can have an ongoing business that's in real trouble here because that's what this is for, right? This is to help people.
That's what it's for, but do you have to prove you're in trouble?
I don't think so.
So you're just an ongoing business and you want to bring on a couple of extra employees just for whatever reason. How does that work? Does that help eliminate the debt?
You have to be established before March 13th of 2020.
So you can't just throw a business together overnight.
Right. Have no more than 15,000 employees or no more than revenues of $5
billion. No problem.
You can't be an ineligible business, which is probably like a something for gambling, a whorehouse. I was thinking whorehouse too. I was trying to think of a good way to say it.
I'd say it.
you probably can't do gambling, probably no drugs, things of that nature. There's employee count. Have created or organized in the U.S., not also participating in the other Main Street loan facilities. Okay, so that's there or not. As well as the prime market, so you can't be. I wonder if you could be publicly traded. Businesses that receive support through the SBA Paycheck Protection Program are eligible. You also could not have received special support in the CARES Act for air carriers, air cargo, and businesses critical to national security. That's basically it.
Is this the kind of money that can become a grant?
No. Nope. It's a a five-year loan, no interest for 1 year, and then no principal payments for 2 years. You don't have to. You could pay it back. But no principal payments required for 2 years, and then you have to pay it. I think it's the third, fourth, fifth. There's some sliding scale of how much principal has to be paid back during those last few years. It balloons out, I believe, at the end. So let's see. It's right here. Payment. Payment here, Main Street, new loans. So here, it's right here. LIBOR plus three, lender transaction gets, must be paid by the borrower 100 basis points of the principal amount. There's a 100 basis point origination fee paid to the, by the borrower. So it's like 1 to 2% total payable. Year 2 to 4, 33% each year has to be paid years 2 to 4. But they said that maybe hasn't been updated. 33% each year, 2 to 4, but you don't have to pay the principal for 2 years. I'm not sure if they changed this thing here. No, they didn't change the table. This table hasn't been changed. So it's something like maybe 33% and I don't know, whatever it is, so 3 years after the third year. I guess 33% for years 3 to 5. That's what you have to pay. So here's some old things here. You can't have bad debt. It's canceled. You can't reduce any of your other credit lines to get this. So if you have a credit line right now at 6%, you can't cancel your other credit line, get this 3.5%.
How does that work?
I don't know. You're not allowed to.
Yeah, I know, but how does that work? What if you're going to do that anyway?
You probably have
to. You can't use this to pay off debt?
It seems not.
Huh.
Borrower must commit to refrain from repaying principal balance or interest of any debt until the Main Street loan is repaid, unless the debt or interest payment is mandatory and due. So you can't use this for, I don't know. There's also a retention of employees.
You can't use it as a vehicle for refinancing.
Yeah, you can't do that. And there's something about good faith effort to keep your employees. So, but it's a lot of money and you just kind of play the game, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yep. So a lot of money. So that's another reason why there's some money flowing through this the markets right now, because it kind of.
Yeah, you get that $250,000, put it in Hertz.
Yeah, put it in Hertz or options on Hertz, options on futures.
Yeah, futures options. Yeah, that's a good way to throw it all away.
According to the National Bureau of Economic Research, the business cycle that does the official. Hey, we're in a recession. We're not in a recession. Those are the guys that do it.
Yeah.
They say that, well, the expansion that we were recently in that lasted 128 months, which was the longest in U.S. ever. History.
Yeah.
Dating back to 1854 is kaput. We are now officially in a recession starting February 2020.
Sounds right to me.
Which is really interesting, because usually what you have to do is go through two consecutive quarters at least. And we just got the information now about the first quarter of the downward action in the in the GDP. Yeah. So I'm not sure how they're calling this, but I guess they're figuring that, you know what?
They did the calculation. They looked at the reality and they said, look, we're not having an up quarter next.
Right.
Might as well call it now. Get it out of the way.
Right. So we're out of that. And it looks like the previous record for the longest upswing and growth cycle was from March 1991 to March 2001. Seems these things always seem to happen in February or March. You know, this is a big thing in March. Wasn't that the whole thing also in March of 2008, 2009, right around there? March. Well, that was the low of the market was March. March 23rd was the low of the market this time around too. March 9th, I think it was in 2009.
Huh.
All right, so let's talk about this. This is a topic we need to get in. Before we do that, I want to mention somebody in the chat room asked me to comment on the PPP loans that are starting to expire. So this is interesting. I don't know what's going to happen with regard to two things. Number one, the PPP loans and the initial requirement where you had to pay what you had to pay it back. The PPP loans, the initial requirement was the first 8 weeks after you got it, you were had to pay 75% of the money out to employees, keep them on staff. Then they changed it after that. So some companies that did that didn't really have to do that, but they did it anyway to stay within the rules so they can get this as a grant. And it now ran out. So I don't know if they're going to be laying off people at this point. The second thing you have is also the money that's going to run out in terms of the excess money for unemployment. The $600 per week is going to run out July 31st, unless they renew that. I don't know if they're going to.
I don't see how they can. I mean, the way they're throwing money away, maybe they will renew it. But the other thing is kind of more interesting to me, which is the potential for laying off people because the PPP thing expires.
I mean, I think there's a high likelihood. The only thing that's different right now is that those people that maybe had utilized all their money already and business isn't back to normal have to lay off people. But the other thing is because they extended it 24 weeks, you don't have to necessarily hire people back yet and pay them. So you can hold on to that money. And it's only a 60% requirement to use it for salaries as opposed to the previous, which was 75%. Mm. So I think that, you know, there's unfortunately, there's a lot of really good support in the markets. And I say the markets, the economic markets, the jobs markets right now. I don't know, and the stock market has done really well. So people are feeling a lot better about the 401k plans and all that. But that only covers a certain amount of people. There's a lot of people that don't have any of that.
Right.
They don't have savings.
Most people, right. Actually.
So they rely on the week to week, month to month paychecks that they get. And without jobs and with the chance of them not being able to get money from the government in that amount, maybe just a small amount of the extended payment from the states, that could be what, $200 a month or so? I mean, a week, $250. That's going to be a real problem. But we know that, and so does the government. They know there's a problem. So, I don't know. I mean, I have a friend that has a live music club right around the corner, and he's actually part of a group that we've been meeting every week about, talking about kind of the world 2.1, it's called. But I just passed his place tonight. He's got a for lease sign on it on both his office, which is right next door to his bar/live music venue. Hmm. So that's over.
Yeah, I guess so. He's done.
That's terrible. He has no idea how he can have live music anymore. It's a jazz club.
Well, I mean, you have to look at what's going on with the Vegas and Reno casinos. They're packed. I got word from one of my guys in the business. He says once they reopened the casinos, the coin in was the highest that the casinos have ever seen in their history.
Really?
And there's a couple of videos online, which I was questioning as to the authenticity. One is specifically at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, and it's packed. And there's like very few people wearing masks, a couple guys, but it's packed. And these assumptions may not be accurate. I was of the same opinion until this casino number started coming in and the discussion began. So
I find it really interesting that you said that it's packed, so I can go along with that. I get that, right? But I'm surprised that you have, you're saying that it's the highest number of coin in, because there's a lot of, things in the way. I mean, I saw some poker tables with these crazy plexiglass barriers around every player. You have to put your hand through a little hole. It's like going to one of those crazy liquor stores.
Yeah. Yeah. A liquor store in a bad neighborhood.
Right. Where they have that turnstile that goes through and like the 8-inch thick glass.
Yeah, exactly. You have to put the shotgun into that slot and fire away and hope for the best.
So I find that I get that the casinos are packed, but it's I don't know.
I'm just telling you what the guy says. It could be bull crap.
Well,
but I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's good to hear if it is. Let's talk about buying the junk. This is the gambling of today, other than the casinos. So we talked about Hertz for a moment here. So Icahn sold his 55.3 million shares of Hertz at 72 cents a piece for just under $40 million on the heels of the bankruptcy, right? He lost $2 billion. Fast forward like 3 weeks.
He's getting old.
3 weeks. If you would have invested $10,000 in Hertz on the day after they announced their bankruptcy, it's now worth $125,000.
Nice.
And last week it was bid up again,
nice,
150%.
Fast 10-bagger.
Yeah. So one of the things that's interesting, and you'll be hearing a lot about this because it's something that's been going around, and I've seen this, you know, for a very long time, is this whole concept of the Robin Hood traders. And these are supposedly new investors, small accounts, very high risk. They go along with the flow. They don't look at anything but price movement. So they're just going to buy things they see on TV. If Cramer says it, they're going to buy it on their Robinhood accounts. This was the first app that changed the industry because it started as a free transactions, if you remember.
Yes.
And what you can actually do on Robinhood, you can go to, I think it's called RobinTrack. I put RobinTrack.net. I put a link on the show notes to do this. You can put in a symbol. You could do a lot of things. You could just say the most held, whatever. You could put a symbol in. And look at this chart that it provides you. So here's the Hertz chart. There's two axes that show you on one side the price. On the other side, it shows you the number of users, the account holders, that are holding it over time.
So this is not the number of, this has nothing to do with shares, it's just total users.
Right, which is it's a very important thing, the amount of people that are all jizzed up about it.
Yep.
So what you'll notice here is that as soon as it started going up on about, what, 3rd of June, the numbers went from 65,000 users up to like 100,000. Doubled the user base, and it's still climbing. And that's been pretty much corresponding well with stock after stock after stock that you see that's moving. They get in a flurry and they put their money in there. Now, I don't think these particular investors have enough money to really move markets, but a bankrupt company like this, why would 100,000 people put their money in a company that is going bankrupt when traditionally a bankruptcy is going to wipe out the common shareholders?
Yeah, and it's going to go to zero.
Zero.
So it's in the olden days, you'd short the company at 75 cents.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. So it doesn't make any. Well, it's crazy, but there you have it.
There
things
you have it.
Change. So the market, that's the only reason the market's interesting.
Yeah. But what you could do is you can go over to robintrack.net and you can actually also look at the top holdings, the biggest move of increase of holdings, who's holding what. There's a lot of things you could do on there. It's kind of interesting to see these kind of charts. But they all look the same. It's, you know, once they start getting a couple of names in, they all get crazy. And then once they see it, because the Robinhood users use this as a place, they use it as a way to say, hey, wait a minute, a lot more users are getting in. I'm going to get in too. Not even looking at anything about the company.
No, it's all momentum.
It's just a momentum and a flurry of excitement.
It's robintrack.net.
Yep. Robintrack.net. Bloomberg has a report on retail investors. They said lured by zero trading fees, a historic sell-off, and probably boredom while stuck at home, the group often viewed as dumb money opened a record number of new trading accounts in the first quarter. The 10 Russell 3000 stocks that have seen their popularity rise the most over the last month, a month on the Robinhood app, are up an average of 93% since early May, nine times more than the S&P 500.
Nice.
So they're a little herd.
This is going to make it worse, you know.
Of course. That's my point here. This is my point.
There's nothing worse than an incompetent, overconfident investor.
Right. That's what this is. Everybody else is getting in. I'm going to do it too. I had a friend the other day who doesn't.
And it feeds on itself. It gets other people in. It becomes very nasty.
I was out.
It's very hard to stop people from doing it. It's kind of funny.
Well, especially when they think, hey, you know what? I'm only going to invest $1,000 or $500. But I was out there with a friend who rarely buys stocks. I was out with him on Saturday night, and he said, yeah, I bought Hertz. I'm like, oh. Okay, that sounds great. Why is that? You know? So.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
But we know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's okay. A lot of people in the chat room talk about, hey, they use it to track stocks. They use it for just seeing what people are doing. Somebody mentioned he tossed it. See, this is interesting. I'm not going to. I tossed in $1,000, made $300 from the rise since March. That's great. I think that's awesome. But I think that is telling us what the mentality is with regard to some of these names.
A gambling.
I tossed in my money. You'll see what happens. It's kind of like I can't bet on the games. I can't go to the games. I'm not going to Vegas. So you know what? I'll have a little fun. And that's okay. That's fine. I have no problem on that. I really don't. But I think that there's something to be said about you got caught up in the momentum. You did really well. The markets were overdone. I get all that. I get it. And that's good. Make all the money you can. Just be aware, there's another side to this story. There's a B-side to this album.
It's like the old Harold, the gaming guy from years ago, when he wrote the book Quit Winners. I want everyone to quit winners. No one can do it. What happens is you put the 1,000 in, you make 300, and you say, well, let's let it ride. Or you take, you know, maybe get some house money. So I got some house money. Let me just invest the 300. I'll go with that. Right. You take it up to maybe now you got like maybe up, you get up to 4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see some real killer deal. And say, well, I'm going to take my house money, but this is such a super good idea. I'm going to add another 5 to it, my own money, because this is, I'd be rich.
Yep.
And then they end up losing 5 instead of anything. You know, it's just what happens.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen, but yeah. So earnings sector, BP plans to cut nearly 10,000 jobs or 14% of its workforce and freeze pay increases for senior-level managers as it seeks to strengthen its finances. Good there. Boeing stock up 50% last week, 100% off its lows. Target prices are increasing. 737 production is coming back online with still no date for the approval of the 737 MAX. Companies announcing layoffs, massive debt issuance, no bailout money as the Fed, they didn't have to take the money because the Fed helped them through backdoor bailouts with no strings. So there you go.
They got lucky.
Yep.
They're in trouble. I think the company's in trouble. That 777 contracts have all been canceled. The 737 MAX is a dog. They'll never get it fixed from the way I see it.
Yeah.
They may even have to rename it because people may not want to fly on it. They got all kinds of issues that I don't know if it was throwing money away to help them out.
They have a net negative 600 aircraft orders this year.
I don't know.
Negative.
I definitely would not be going long on Boeing.
Yeah. We got this new phrase. Virus-induced lifestyle changes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good phrase.
Virus-induced lifestyle changes. And it's gearing up to get you into a mobile home. So Winnebago and Thor Industries doing pretty well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So is there, you think this will stick, this whole idea? People will really have a, a permanent lifestyle change due to this incident? Or is it just going to be one of these things that once again, a year after that, we go back to what we've been doing?
Well, these things very rarely stick.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's already fallen apart as far as I can tell. And sure, there's always the people who jump at the chance to own, you know, to move into a tiny home or to move into a Winnebago and hit the road or whatever. There's a number of these alternative lifestyles that you can manage. But I don't know. Nice to have some room.
You know where the problem comes in, I think? I think that the problem comes in is that when you have these bailouts by the Fed and the low interest rates and the artificiality of markets moving, the amount of people that then become cocky and become reckless, the moral hazard that it provides, it doesn't ever allow for a reset because we're so geared for money in our society. You know, it's all about riches and wealth and we just feed that stuff constantly and they're the hubris and
Yeah, I know. And Trump doesn't help, by the way.
I understand.
I mean, I like the idea that what Trump's doing to keep the market propped up with his boosterism. But, you know, it's ludicrous at this point. He could keep the thing up for another couple of years, possibly. I don't know. Like I said, until it goes past 30,000, I'm not convinced.
Yep. Well, the WHO, did a 180. I found this really interesting. So right now they're saying that coronavirus patients with symptoms aren't driving the spread, without symptoms, aren't driving the spread of the virus.
Thanks for this new information, boys.
Yeah. So
this is like the one, 2 weeks ago? And they said apparently surfaces don't spread the virus either.
Right.
So all these people walking around with these stupid blue gloves on.
Blue gloves. I have them.
Yeah, well.
So this casted some doubt on some of the researchers that the disease could be difficult to contain due to asymptomatic infections. But the CDC is saying that these findings also suggest that to control the pandemic, it might be not enough for the persons with symptoms to limit their contact with others because persons without symptoms might transmit the infection. I don't know. All I could tell you is, call me insane. But it seems to me pretty interesting that the WHO changed their tune when they got their money pulled by the U.S. And I'm thinking that somebody said, you know, if you come out and say, you know, it's not such a big deal that the asymptomatic people are not spreading it, you know.
So you think it's bullcrap that
I don't know.
Was it maybe bull crap at the beginning?
It could be bull crap at the beginning. It could be bull crap now. But I think that
there's bull crap involved.
It's all bull crap. Yes. But I think that there is something to be said about them softening their stance on this because they want to, they possibly want to get in the good with the U.S. again.
Well, Trump and specifically Trump.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the operation. He's against it. I think he's an anti-UN guy altogether, which is fine with me. I'm not a big fan.
Yep. Then more on the WHO. More than 135,000 cases were reported worldwide on Sunday, the most in a single day so far. More than 6 months into the pandemic, this is the time for any country to take its foot off the pedal, he told on an online briefing. And then we have, of course, Texas. Texas is one of the first states to open. There's a great little chart here. Take a look at this chart. Now, one of the things that I look at is not the whole idea of, all right, how many cases there are, because we don't know if this testing is really promoting that, right? More testing. We don't know if people are just going to get tested and they're asymptomatic and they have it. We don't know if they're sick. So they're like, hey, let me get a test, and they have it. We don't know what the answer to that is. But more testing obviously means more cases. There's no question about that,
obviously.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's the way it is.
So the thing that I look for is any potential for an increase in hospitalizations. That seems to me to be an important thing, right?
Yeah.
So Texas is definitely spiking in that also, or moving up pretty substantially, the most hospitalizations since the beginning. And they were the first one. I think they opened everything May 1st, or started opening up on May 1st.
Yes. But so. Should mention a couple of things since Adam's down there. He talks about it. They didn't take the masks or social distancing as seriously as they do in California.
Right. We'll see what's going to happen with this. I mean, Georgia doesn't seem to be any problematic. IBM.
Yeah, Georgia's doing fine. Pretty similar to Texas in their attitude. And I think Florida's doing okay, isn't it?
Florida had a big spike today. Yesterday.
Had a big spike. Oh, big spike.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Well, they're kissing too much down there.
I guess. IBM is canceling their facial recognition program. In a letter to members of Congress on Monday, IBM said it's exiting the general purpose facial recognition business and said it opposes the use of such technology for mass surveillance and racial profiling. Gotta stick that in there, right?
Well, it's pretty well known that the facial recognition software really is only works well on white faces.
You know what it doesn't work well? What it really doesn't work well at all with?
What?
White faces or any face with a mask on it.
Oh, yes, the mask doesn't help. Even though there's been a couple of reports that, well, we've solved that problem.
Oh,
I don't
please.
Think so.
Ah, come on.
Bull crap. No way. So it's ridiculous. Impossible. Well, now it's just eyeball recognition.
Yeah. And to round out this section of the show here, we're back to fake eggs. You remember that company that had that fake mayo?
Say again?
Remember the company that had the fake mayonnaise?
It was real mayonnaise, but the guy bought it all up to make it look like it was selling a lot.
That was, it was some kind of fake something on the mayo. I don't think they used eggs or something.
Oh, yeah, it was something fake about it.
But, yeah, they stocked the stores. They had people go in and buy all the stuff so the stores would stock it back up. And they put it back in inventory. So this company, Just Egg, I think it was called Just Mayo before, Just or something like that, presented this a group of Shanghai executives with 8 ways to serve the, what do they call it, Ersatz Ovum, Just Egg, which is primarily made from mung beans.
Well, mung bean mayonnaise, huh?
No, mung bean eggs.
Mung bean eggs.
Yeah. The hope that it's going to be good enough for the Chinese company to sell online and at its fast food chain.
So in other words, is it in a shell?
No, it's some kind of glop that they put together. It's just like the hamburgers. It's some crap that they put together and they shape it in the form of a hamburger. They put some flavoring in there and say, hey, look how great this tastes. It tastes just like a hamburger. With some horrible artificial aftertaste. Yes, maybe. So they made this kind of mung beany, probably yellow colored egg for.
Oh, you're making me sick.
For like scrambling or I don't know what they're doing with it. Just put it together.
Like some scrambled mung beans.
It reminds me of, do you ever see the movie Snowpiercer?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, and they have a series now, by the way. Did you know
this series is not watchable.
No. Do you know that the director or maybe it was the producer or the writer or whatever it was of Snowpiercer, it was a Korean movie, is the same guy who did Parasite, which won all the awards.
Yeah, I think I knew that.
And the main character is the same. The main character from Parasite is the guy that opens the locks on Snowpiercer. But anyway, the point is, Snowpiercer had that food for the back of the train, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was
the losers in the back of the train.
It was like a bug mash.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It was a bug mash.
Yeah.
Not to mention, it's sickening.
Yeah. That's kind of the same thing here.
Disgusting. Yeah, trying to feed us crap.
Yep. So, you know what? With all the winnings that everybody's making on the Robinhood app and all the things that they're doing so great with in terms of their investments right now, buying things like Hertz and Chesapeake and Whiting Petroleum and all these other things, this extra money that you have, one of the things that you could do with it is actually send it in as a donation to the show.
We need it.
Yep. So
we haven't gotten any donations in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been very light. It's been very light. And so go over to DH Unplugged, click on the little yellow button there, and donate some of those great winnings that you have, and some of the love will flow through. We thank you in advance.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, close to the pin we announced last week. New trend. This is a continuation of the above. But SoftBank, which lost, I don't know, billions of dollars on their Uber and on their WeWork and all these other crazy things that Masu-san has put together. SoftBank Chief Operating Officer Marcelo Kleur said in a letter to employees early Wednesday that the firm will create a $100 million fund that will only invest in companies led by founders and entrepreneurs of color.
What does that mean?
Well, this is like the ESG greenwashing. This is like color washing. So now we have the ESG, the environmental, social, and governance, where you kind of make sure your company is doing well.
Does this mean they're just going to invest in the same Chinese entrepreneurs out of Hong Kong that everybody else invests in?
No. Are those people of color?
I think so.
You think Chinese people are considered people of color?
Are they not people of color? Who makes these definitions?
I think the color thing is black and brown.
Why don't they say that then?
Because
why don't they say entrepreneurs of color except Chinese?
Not Asian.
Or except Japanese.
Well, but what about me?
I find this to be sketchy.
What about Jews? I'm a color. Jews are not
like
considered
a light
white.
Skinned Jew. You don't count.
I don't count. We don't ever, but that's another story. So, but again, more virtue signaling, right? That they're going to create a $100 million
fund. By the way, a very small fund.
Very small.
VC.
That's the other part. Right. That's the other part of this, how ridiculously small this was. So I'm not sure what
they... Yeah, very small. It was a billion. Okay, it'd at least be something. No, this is because they expect to just take a beating.
I don't even know what the point is. I mean, I understand that it is a nice thing to find companies to do that, but I would think that it would be better to expand your definition of your main fund, that, you know, whether it's a priority or whether it's a caveat or this whole thing is just...
What about women? You left women out.
Oh, you know, see? Look, it could be a American black woman. ABWs. All right, let's talk about some limericks real quick here. We got a few that are going on. We have... a lot being sent in, overwhelmed with limericks. But
just do a whole show of limericks.
Could be. I actually wrote one too.
Ah.
So let me get rid of my, let me get my official scoring pad out. And please, everybody in the chat room, there's a lot of people in the chat room compared to normal tonight. Probably playing the after hour futures, all these guys and girls. I'm certain of it.
That must be it.
Okay. All right. Let me take a little swig. And the first one's going to be from Matthew Taylor. The money printers go burr, so no market drops may occur. Jay Powell has the mojo. Now get with the FOMO. Didn't we do this last time?
I don't think so.
Because it was the ETF on kids with this. Okay. Because I saw the same word. I'm sorry. I'm starting again. The money printers go burr, so no markets drop may occur. Jay Palo has the mojo. Now get with the FOMO. F our kids with these debts we've incurred.
Oh, I see. You saw the F. Yeah, they had the last one. I liked it to a point, but I'd like to have mojo rhyme with something other than FOMO. Because that's not really a pair. And so I'm going to give it a C+.
C+. Okay, next one Greg McLeod. I think that's how you say it. In time since the first Great Depression, the Fed learned an interesting lesson. There's still mass unemployment, but the rich can enjoy it because this time they've made stacks the exception. Stocks the exception. Sorry, I screwed that up. Because this time they've made stocks the exception. Why I can't read these things right is beyond my understanding. That
is beyond me too. I liked everything in that. I thought it was leading up to a nice last line, but the last line was boring. It just didn't have the punch I'm looking for, and it also was long.
Long last line.
I'm giving it a C+.
All right, we're going to skip down to mine. With time here. A curfew, a protest, a riot. It's out of hand and there's no denying it. And during the time, the market's just fine. Thank the Fed for kindly supplying it.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You know, your first two lines seem to be like, you know, you try too hard.
Oh.
And it's also that second line is way too long, considering you're having a real tight, you have a tight limerick here. Everything's tight except that second line. I'm giving you a C plus.
All C pluses. A full round of C pluses for the limericks tonight. So everybody's got to sharpen their pencils a little bit more in order to get this going.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
So I think we talked about this week how it was the last week for our tracking of ventilators. Now, what's interesting about that is there's a couple other stocks, actually, that we could have put on here in terms of the PPE. And one of them was Lakeland Industries. We had that on a while back. And we had, it's up 52% after hours today on a blowout earnings number.
Oh, it's a shame we didn't do it.
Yeah, APT, not APT. That was Lakeland Industries and APT, which also has, I forgot what APT, oh no, APT, is we have APT on here? We don't have UT here.
There we go. Allied Healthcare. Yeah.
Those are the ventilators. So that one's down 42%. Beck and Dickinson's flat.
Yeah, I think we're gonna take those off.
Yep, we're gonna take them off tonight. They're gonna bye-bye.
But we'll keep Medtronic on because I picked it.
So I'm gonna say Medtronic. Let's see here. Medtronic stays on. Okay. Other than that, Weight Watchers is losing weight. Down 8%, down 5% today. Alphabet, you're short, down 4.5%. Cisco, you're long, up 9%. That was a thesis of insiders. We both talked about the gun stocks last week, American Outdoor Brands, and that is up 9.5% since last week. And you're short.
You know, our joint picks have always done well.
They have. Consensus, that's what it is. It's consensus. And IBM short is down 5%. With this whipsawing option, I am not. Another week, I'm going to take a slight pass. I've had a couple on here, but
I'm noticing this something which is distressing.
Yeah,
is that I thought we're going to go into a period where you're going to do well shorting stuff, but this is obviously only the two stocks that are on here that are short, and we've had others in weeks past. They're down by about the same amount, and I don't know what to say. So I would take a pass this week.
You know, taking a pass. I think that's a smart move in considering all this. I mean, which is, once we've capitulated on not shorting right now with the market doing so well, is probably the time that things are going to start to go to hell in a handbasket. But
maybe not.
I mean, I got to tell you something. We have, for our clients, a really good allocation on all of our portfolios, but still kind of holding just off a little bit. It's very difficult with these valuations. And with the knowledge that the Fed is pumping this and priming this, you know, how long does it last? I mean, I find it to be very disturbing in terms of not being able to. Here's the problem. John, let's say you're my client, right? And I buy a stock, and it's just out of control. The stock, whether it goes up or down, is not the point. But you say to me, hey, just wondering, why'd you buy that stock? And I say, well, because it's going up and all that. But what about the valuation? How's it priced? Well, it's really priced very poorly. To be honest with you, it's at its peak on its earnings. We just, you know, we don't see earnings coming up. We see that actually being a problem. And how do I explain that in good conscience to a client why we're buying it? Now, you could say that, oh, we could have said that about Tesla and you made all this money from it. Okay. But I'm just wondering, you know.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Puts you in a very bad circumstance. Unless you're just saying, you know what, we don't care. We're just buying this and it doesn't matter. But if you have any kind of basis of a portfolio strategy that has any valuations embedded in it, you know, there's some of these things you just can't do. And rightfully so, because it will come back. And in the end, it's going to be, you know, what you believe it is, with valuations have to come back to earth. So anyway, with that, we're gonna end the evening.
Especially in this economy where nobody's working. I mean, come on.
Yeah, something's not right. All right, listen to No Agenda, by the way.
Right. That should be the title of the show.
It's just not.
Okay.
No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 in the afternoon, live with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. They deconstruct the news. They talk about the things you need to know. It's a hoot. You have to listen to that show if you don't do it at this point. And otherwise, I'll see you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.